Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. You know, today as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of course, it was a Jewish celebration. It means 50 or 50 days after Passover. It was a harvest celebration, and that's why so many of the Jewish people were in Jerusalem, because it was a time that all the men of Israel were to come to worship at the temple, come to Jerusalem. And right on time, according to God's plan and His moedims, His feasts, Jesus died on the cross on Passover, and then He poured out the Holy Spirit on the church, on believers, on the day of Pentecost. And you know, sometimes I think that we fail to celebrate this day, and this is not the exact day that it happened in history, but we fail, a lot of things that we do are not, or the times that we celebrate are not necessarily the exact time or day that it took place in history. But what is important is that we're celebrating it. And sometimes I think as the church, we fail to really recognize the importance of this day. You know, believe it or not, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ranks right up there with the birth of Christ. And it certainly ranks right up there with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we celebrate those like crazy. But when it comes to the day of Pentecost, most of the time it's just a day and it slides right on by. But this is the time when Jesus sent the promise, what He promised His followers, that He would endue them with power from on high. Excuse me. That He would send Holy Spirit to dwell in every believer, to be in us and give us the power to be able to be witnesses for Him wherever we go and whatever we do. This is a day to truly celebrate and to celebrate the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. And we should give God glory and praise for it. Hallelujah. What a day it is. And I think it's very appropriate that we're talking about the gifts, because without the gift, the Holy Spirit, excuse me, there would be no gifts, because the Holy Spirit Himself is really the gift. And the what we refer to as spiritual gifts are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Each and every one of us. So we've all been given these gifts that are meant to be used for the whole body. And as we move into our time of ministering and reading the Word and allowing the Spirit of God to lead us, I want you to recognize that there are certain gifts that are being stirred up in people. Things that need to be in operation in the body of Christ. Things that help us. Things that encourage us. Things that build us up. As we been talking about understanding your gift, it's very important that we all recognize what our gift is, and we use that gift here in the church and outside the church, because there are certain giftings that are meant to be used to build up the kingdom of God and add to the kingdom of God. Mark McGuire was a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he was known for hitting home runs. And he was being interviewed one time, and he said, "When I feel the ball hit the right spot, the sweet spot on the bat, I know that a home run is just around the corner." Well, the fact is that God has given each and every one of us in the body of Christ a sweet spot. It's that gift that He's given us. And when we all are hitting that sweet spot together, I can guarantee you there's a home run in the kingdom of God just around the corner. That's why it's so important that we operate together and we use these gifts and they flow together to accomplish the kingdom work. There isn't a church on the face of the earth that will be all that God wants it to be until the people in that church begin to flow in their spiritual gifts. Knowing your spiritual gift is very, very important. Wow. Having my problems this morning, excuse me. All right, so I wanted to make sure that everybody understood what I was saying last week about the difference between spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit, because I know that it can be really confusing, and I just use those terminology to try to separate the two. I want everybody to understand that I truly believe they operate differently. And the only way that I know to explain things is based on my experience. And I come from a background of working in construction and building and trades. And so I understand the laborers, the skilled laborers that are needed to build, a power plant or, you know, some kind of large building. There's all kinds of different skills that it takes. And I worked out of a union, a labor's union, but I worked with skilled laborers like carpenters, electricians, pipe fitters, iron workers, and all these trades worked together to accomplish one goal. That was to build this, whatever the structure is. They all had their responsibilities. And here's the thing about the building and trades. Each one had their own tools. You know, a carpenter didn't use the electrician's tools. An electrician didn't use the carpenter's tools. Carpenter had a hammer. Electrician had pliers and electrical tools. Same with pipe fitters. They all had their tools. But the difference between what we are as the body of Christ is that the laborers in the body of Christ, the skilled laborers, all have the same tools that are available. Can we get some pictures up there? I'd appreciate it. Laborers, there we go. Different, but they were skilled. Each one had a skill, and they used those skills to accomplish the ultimate goal of building whatever it was that we were building. In the body of Christ, we have tools. They all had their own tools, but we as laborers in the body of Christ have the same tools. And those tools are the gifts of the Spirit. In second, you find those nine gifts of the Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. You find the gifts, the spiritual gifts, in various places. In Romans 12, 3, 8, Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And then in the Old Testament, we find a couple, music and other, and other giftings that are available to the body of Christ, such as craftsmanship, people who are able to have artistic abilities and craft things. These are also gifts, spiritual gifts. But as we go about doing our part as skilled laborers, God has given us this toolbox, and they're the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The gifts that are enable us to be able to minister to one another and also minister to people outside of the church. When you need a word of wisdom, the Holy Spirit will impart a word of wisdom. When you need healing, the Holy Spirit will impart healing. When we need prophecy, the Holy Spirit uses people in the congregation to speak words of prophetic words. Knowledge and wisdom, these things are so important. But they're the tools that are available to each and every person. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a prophet, apostle. It doesn't matter. Or if your gifting is in hospitality or in service or in helps. We all have the same tools. And we're able to access those tools because Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of us. Praise God. I hope that I'm able to clarify that for you because Tammy said it was as clear as mud last week. I just wanted to try to make sure that everybody understands where I'm coming from because we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about the laborers in the body of Christ. And those laborers are listed, and we're going to go through some of those this morning and then finish up the rest of them next week. We're going to take an assessment, a spiritual assessment, and everybody's going to see exactly where you fit in the body of Christ. Most of you will not be surprised. Some of you may be surprised with some of it because you will have primary gifts and you will have secondary gifts. And we all have those in our lives. It doesn't mean that one gift is more important than another. It means that you operate more in this particular gift than you do the secondary gifts, if it's a primary gift. The definition for spiritual gifts, full definition, a distinctive ability given by the Holy Spirit to every born-again believer in Christ. Every born-again believer in Christ receives spiritual gifts. And that's why it's so important that we talk about this and we recognize that they are a part of who we are. So the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to distinguish between the difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. When it comes to natural talents, they are received from biological parents. Spiritual gifts, however, are received from the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us get talents from our parents. Certain talents and gifts genetically passed down from generation to generation. Some people, you know, you have music is in the family and it's passed down from generation to generation. However, that does not necessarily mean that that's your spiritual gift. That might be a talent. But if the Holy Spirit takes that gift and enhances it, then it becomes also a spiritual gift where you're able to lead people in to worship. I think we're very blessed with people who have the spiritual gift of music. And it's obvious that we're led into worship because of that spiritual gift. So we could see that some people have certain talents, but those talents can also be enhanced by the Holy Spirit and become spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit's the one that decides. We can't decide what our gift is. That'd be you can't just go down through the list and say, oh, that looks like a good gift. I'm going to take that one. That's the one I want. No, Holy Spirit is the one that chooses. And sometimes, many times, you feel comfortable in that gift. But that doesn't always mean that that's your spiritual gift. Many times, Also, the Holy Spirit will give you a gift that makes you uncomfortable and puts you in a position where you have to rely on Holy Spirit rather than self and your comfort zone. Does this make sense to you? I hope so. Hallelujah. All right. So, natural talents are present from birth. Spiritual gifts are present from conversion. As soon as you receive Christ as your personal Savior, Holy Spirit imparts gifts to you. And those gifts that you receive are not necessarily the only ones that you will ever have. If we use those gifts, if we expand, we allow those gifts to expand in our life, then Holy Spirit many times will add more gifts to your life and allow you to become more prosperous in the kingdom and more of a benefit to the body of Christ. That's what we all want, isn't it? We want to benefit the body. Natural talents benefits people in the natural realm. Spiritual gifts benefits people in the natural realm, but also in the supernatural realm. Now, what I mean by that is if you have the gift of, let's say, helps, if you have that gift, you're gonna naturally want to help people. And it benefits people in the natural. Because you have that gift. You're going to be there helping and serving people. But also, because you have the gift of helps, you are called to come alongside some of the other ministries, the ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, those who are in charge of ministries. You're to come alongside of those and help build up the kingdom of God. So it not only benefits in the natural, it benefits in the spiritual realm as well. So it bleeds over, and many of these gifts do. Natural talents advances man's agenda. Spiritual gifts advance God's agenda. More than anything, it advances God's agenda. Natural talents results are temporary. They're just earthly, temporary. But spiritual gifts, the results are eternal because we're laying up treasure in heaven by using these spiritual gifts for the kingdom. Natural talents many times glorify self. Spiritual gifts always glorifies God, gives God the glory. It is so very important that we use our spiritual gift, no matter what it is. That we allow the Holy Spirit to stir up inside of us those gifts so that we together as the corporate body can accomplish everything that God calls us to. When the Full Gospel Church in South Korea, pastored by Dr. Cho, was building their prayer mountain, Dr. Cho challenged the people over and over again, because it took a lot of finances to accomplish their goal, and it just seemed like nothing was happening. And then one day, I think it was during a service, a lady came up. She was a poor lady. She didn't have much. But she came up, and she gave what she had. She had chopsticks and a bowl. That was her only earthly possessions. And she gave those to Pastor Cho and said, "Here, sell these and put the money toward Prayer Mountain." When she did that, it spurred the whole congregation to begin to start giving to the Prayer Mountain. And the Prayer Mountain is an incredible place. People go there, they travel there from all over the world to go to their Prayer Mountain. And Dr. Cho and his church, it is either one of or the largest evangelical church in the world, in South Korea. And it was all because a lady gave, she used her gift of giving, and she gave all she had. And other people caught that spirit and started giving. That's what happens when you give your, you use your gift, whatever that gift is. It may be giving, but maybe it's something else. But when you use your gift, it makes such a difference. This woman's gift sparked a whole congregation. Your gift can spark a revival because you decide you want to use your gift. Say, number two, the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Every believer in Jesus Christ must have fruit. Fruit, when we talk about fruit, I like to call it, it's a fruit salad, because basically what we have, it's one fruit, but it has many flavors. And all these things are the flavors of that fruit. The fruit is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. And if you're, if you do not have fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you need to check back into your salvation station and get that straightened out. Because you should have fruit of the Spirit. You should, from the time you are born again, things should change in your character. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. The Holy Spirit's going to continue working on you. The fruit of the Spirit are going to continue to grow and manifest. But there should be a change in your life. People should be able to look at you once you've received Jesus Christ and say, hey, there's something different about this guy. When I first became born again, my whole life changed. From that moment I received Christ, I was, prior to that, partying, doing things that I absolutely should not do, was not raised to do, but made choices to do, and I turned my life away from Christ. And then when I received Jesus Christ one evening at South Bethel Church, knelt at that altar, received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. When I got up from that altar, there was something different in me. I knew that. And when I started, I went back to my friends that we partied with. And, it, you know, no fault of theirs, but I was different. I just didn't fit in any longer with that group. I was no longer the party animal that they wanted to hang out with. So, you know, the natural thing that happened was, you know, we stopped hanging out together. I stopped hanging out with them, basically, because we didn't have things in common any longer. They all recognized that there was something different in my life. One time I had a guy, I used to play basketball with a group of guys down at Reedsville, to elementary school, and we were just having a conversation, and this particular guy, he said to me, he said, there's something different about you. What's going on? And I told him, well, I received Christ as my personal Savior. And he said, oh, you've turned over a new leaf. Well, there was more to it than turning over a new leaf. I turned over my whole life to the Lord and Savior. But people will recognize the difference. I guarantee you. But that doesn't mean that it's all going to be great all the time. Here's what we have to do. Listen to what Galatians 5:24 says. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Guess what? That's what you have to do. Crucify the flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come in, take control. He's not a demon. He's your friend. Doesn't come in, take control of your life. He comes in and directs your life. And therefore, you must allow Him to work in your life. That means You must crucify your flesh. You must give up. You must walk away from the things that you know are not of God. And you must allow the Holy Spirit to direct you in these things. You know, growing up, we went to a church that believed in a second work of grace. They called it sanctification. We probably know it more as baptism of the Holy Spirit. But their second work of grace, their sanctification, you went back to the altar and you got sanctified. And when you got up from the being sanctified, then, and let me say this before I go on. Sanctification is a process in the body of Christ. There is an immediate sanctification that takes place. I was just talking about that, changes that take place in your life. But there's an ongoing sanctification as well. And that's how the fruit of the Spirit becomes ripe, luscious fruit in your life, through that sanctification process. But what they taught was that when you were sanctified, you got up, and from that point on, you'd never have any problems any longer. At least that was my interpretation of it, which is not biblical at all. So that sanctification was all you needed. Well, some people also I've heard some teachings about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the same way. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and man, you've got it. You'll not have any problems any longer. Well, that does not line up with the Word of God, and it certainly doesn't line up with experience. We're still going to struggle with this flesh. We're going to struggle with this world. We're going to struggle with an enemy. We're struggling on three fronts, but we're victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. We have victory. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit shapes your character. Gifts of the Spirit shapes your service. Fruit of the Spirit is the same for every believer. Gifts of the Spirit are different for each believer. Fruit of the Spirit is evidence you are maturing in Christ. It's getting ripe and luscious. Evidence, gifts of the Spirit are evidence of your faithfulness in Christ. Fruit of the Spirit should be a permanent part of your experience. Gifts of the Spirit, God may add and redirect these gifts. Fruit of the Spirit is the desired attribute and the manifestation of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are the method and means for ministry, for all of us to be able to ministry. All right, my third point now that I want to share with you this morning is the responsibility versus spiritual gifts, because we all have responsibility in some of these things that are spiritual gifts imparted to individuals are also the responsibility of the whole body of Christ. And giving is one of those things. Thank God it's not just a responsibility of a small group of people who have the gift of giving to give into the body of Christ, to give to the church, to give to people's needs. We all have that responsibility, yet giving is a spiritual gift. In Romans chapter 12, 8, it's listed as one of the spiritual gifts. But we also know that in Luke 6:38, Jesus said this to everyone, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now we like to quote that scripture because it tells us that whatever we give, God is going to bless it. But you first have to give. And sometimes that's the difficult part. Because in the natural realm, we have a tendency to want to hold on to what we think is ours. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you to give, or when we have a mandate from Scripture to give, it's the responsibility of every member of the body of Christ. Tithing is a responsibility of every member of the body of Christ. Giving to special projects, giving to other people. But there are people who have the gift and they get great joy out of giving. Now, I will say this, that if you, whether you have the gift or not, if you begin to give when Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will get joy out of that. There's no doubt about it. But there are some people that, you know, they just look for the opportunity to give. And we have people in this congregation that they're like that. They have that gift of giving. And they're looking always for an opportunity to be able to give, to pour into other people's lives, to give it to church, to give for projects, to give to people who are in need. Giving goes way beyond giving an offering on Sunday mornings. Evangelism is another one of those things. It's listed in 4:11 as a gift, Ephesians 4:11. However, we all know that sharing the message of good news of the kingdom is the responsibility of every believer. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who is he talking to? Every believer. Go and share the gospel. We all have a responsibility to do that. That doesn't mean we're all evangelists. That means that we all have a responsibility to evangelize. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're all going to send, you know, when we dismiss from church, you're going to go out on the street corner someplace and start preaching the gospel. That's not the kind of evangelism. It's a lifestyle evangelism that we've been called to. It's a daily evangelism. It's evangelizing people that we come in contact with by loving and reaching out to them and also telling them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen, in most cases, you're not going to be able to speak into people's lives until you have formed a relationship with them. So it's very important that we establish that. People don't care what you're telling them until they understand how much you care about them. And that's why we walk in love. Now, everyone can learn methods of sharing your faith. There's lots of books out there. Some of the things we'll be talking about in the future, because I want us all to learn. One of the books that I've been reading is How to Start a Kingdom Conversation. There are certain techniques that we can use to just be able to strike up a conversation with somebody about the kingdom of God. And we don't have to stress over it. Listen, one of the things that I dislike is people who have the gift of evangelism and they put a burden on those who do not necessarily have the gift. What I mean is that, you know, sometimes you have evangelists come through, that those guys who like to come and teach everybody how to go out on the street corner and preach and the Word of God. And that's awesome. You know, we can do some of that. But the reality is the majority of us do not have that same gift that person has. If you had that gift, Lloyd Middleton had that gift. Wherever he went, it didn't matter. As long as the person was breathing, he could share the gospel with them some way, somehow. He would bring the conversation around to that. We can learn techniques to be able to do that. But if a person has that gift, they have a hard time understanding why the rest of us are not motivated like they are. Why aren't we doing the same thing? Well, we're not gifted. They're gifted in that area. Another area is intercession. It's a spiritual gift. We do not have a scripture that says this is particularly a gift, but we know that prayer and interceding is very important. And my experience has taught me that there's individuals in the body of Christ who receive burdens for the ministry and for individuals from time to time, and they'll spend hours praying. That's intercession. And there are certain individuals who have this gifting and this calling to intercede for the whole body of Christ, to intercede for evangelists and pastors and prophets, people who are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ on a regular basis, to intercede for the body, to put a hedge of protection around the body of Christ. They have this gift to intercede and seek the face of the Father. And it's not just a natural desire to pray. It's a burden that they feel. And it comes upon them, and they use it to minister and to pray and to intercede for the body. And yet, every person sitting in here is called to pray. Amen? We're all to intercede. In Matthew 6:6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." That's our promise. We go secretly and pray, and He'll reward us. And then in verse 9 through 13, Jesus gives us the model of prayer. He teaches us how to pray. And, you know, I've talked about that in the past. We're not going to go into that today. But it's important that we recognize that there are certain things that we're supposed to be praying and how we're supposed to pray. Each one of us are to do that. But those who are called to intercession undergird all the other ministries in the body. Service is also a spiritual gift listed in Romans 12:7. It's actually in Romans 12:7, it says, "Or ministry, let us use it in ministering." That the Greek word there can also be interpreted by service. And it really is calling us to use the gift of service to minister to other people as God wills. In Ephesians 6:7, it calls all of us to serve one another with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. So we're all to serve one another, and yet there are those who are called particularly to the ministry of service. They want to serve. Helps is also a ministering gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Right in the middle of all these things that we would probably naturally refer to as very spiritual things, right in the middle of all that is the gift of helps. Why? Why is that so important? Because without the gifts of help, none of the other ministries can function properly. They help. These people, the people who have this gift, they don't want to be up front. They don't want to have responsibility of trying to organize and plan. That's administration is not their thing. But what their thing is, "Pastor, whatever you need, I'll do it. I want to help in any way I can." That's the gift. They've got this gift that they'll come alongside. And without people like that, the church cannot function the way it needs to function. We have to have helps in the ministry. And yet, we're all to help. We're all to always be reaching out to help each other, help one another, help others. Here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7, "This is not the fast that I have chosen. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of the wicked, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh." Does that sound like helps to you? We're all supposed to be helping. And then in Matthew chapter 25, 34, Jesus said it like this. He's talking about Judgment Day. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Jesus is taking from Isaiah what he's talking about this. How important it is for the body of Christ to be about helping other people, reaching out to people. But sometimes we just have to help. It may not necessarily be our gift, but there are times that we just have to help. In this game of life, I have come to this realization that sometimes people who have the gift of help, they're either not around or they're not making themselves available. So when something needs to be done, guess what? This is a game. You got to pick up the bat and hit the ball. That's the only way we're going to win the game, regardless of whether it's your gift or not. We all have to get in the game and help each other. It works best when everyone is functioning in their gifting. Hospitality is another one of those gifts. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the needs of the saint, given to hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hospitality is a gift. I don't know if we have, I'm sure we do, have some people in here who has the gift of hospitality. But somebody with the gift of hospitality, you know, you can 20 people can show up at their house and they just welcome them in, and they'll start fixing food and prepare the place for them and just making them feel welcome. Now I want to say something, because there is a difference between being hospitable and having the gift of hospitality. Being hospitable, my wife is very hospitable. She welcomes people, you know, but for her, it has to be a planned event. I learned my lesson a long time ago. I don't bring 10 of my friends home for dinner without first letting her know that it's going to happen. She's hospitable, but she does not have the gift of hospitality. If you have the gift of hospitality, I could bring 20 of my friends over and you'd be happy. You'd be glad to see them, because that's your gifting. You were just waiting for that to happen. Hospitality. Another one is mercy. It's listed in Romans 12:8 as well. But at the same time, mercy is an important gift in the body of Christ. But every believer is to show mercy. A synonym for mercy is kindness. And of course, kindness is listed in one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's something that's supposed to be in each and every one of us, and we're supposed to show mercy. But there are those who show mercy, an abundance of mercy. Their gift is mercy. They pour mercy out on people that don't even deserve that mercy. And that's mercy, that's what it's all about. But I mean, there are times where somebody really needs to be disciplined for actions, that both in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. You know, Ananias and Sapphira lost their life because they lied to the Holy Spirit. That was discipline. If you had a person with the gift of mercy sitting in that place, that probably wouldn't happen, because they wouldn't allow judgment and justice to be done. They just have this gift of mercy, and they always want people to receive mercy for every situation. I do not have the gift of mercy. I want you all to know that. I believe in mercy, but I also believe in judgment. And I believe that there are times that the things need to be brought back in order. Sometimes they get out of order. We need to bring our lives back in order. So the justice mentality is very strong in me as a pastor. I want mercy to prevail, but I want justice to make sure that things are done properly. Good Samaritan was shown mercy by a man that, or the Good Samaritan showed mercy to a Jewish man that he wasn't even supposed to like. Other people walked right by him. The religious leaders walked right by this guy. He'd been beaten up. He'd been robbed. His life was just hanging on a thread. And this Good Samaritan came along. Samaritans the Jews hated, and Samaritans hated the Jews. But he came along and he saw this guy in distress, and he helped him. And Jesus was telling this story to the Pharisees. And he said to them at the end of the story, after this Samaritan helped him and made sure that he was taken care of, he said, "Which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And of course, they had to answer. They knew. And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." We're all supposed to show mercy. It's just an important part of our Christianity. God has given this church an abundance of gifts that are available here in this place. And as we begin to expand and grow in these gifts, many of you are using your gifts, and it's awesome to see that happening. Some of you may not know exactly what your gifts are, and we're going to talk about that. But God wants you to have an abundance in your life to be able to share with other people. So this gift and giftings that you have are meant to be used to reach out and touch other people's lives here in this body and outside of the church as well. And our God, who is in control, knows exactly what you need and what you can handle and what kind of gifting He wants to impart to you. He may give you a bunch of gifts, or He may just give you one gift. Whatever it is, use it to the best of your ability. A little boy went to the grocery store with his mother. It was a little country store, and he was about 8-10 years old, and the manager of the grocery store was there, and he loved kids, and he had this jar full of lollipops, and he went over to the little boy with the jar, and he said, "Here, take a handful. You can have them." And this little boy, uncharacteristic of this little boy, he was usually real outgoing. He wasn't shy. But he said, "No." And he acted shy. And the manager said, "Oh, here." And he put his big old hand in there and took out a handful and gave them to the little boy. And when they went outside, his mother said to him, she said, "Son, what was wrong with you? You were acting shy, and I know you're not shy. What in the world were you doing?" And he said, "Well, Mom, I recognize something. That man's hands were a lot bigger than mine." Our God's hands are a lot bigger than our hands. Whatever He pulls out and distributes to us, it's His will. And He wants it to be used for His body. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.